Live from NPR News, I'm Dale Willman. In a late-night vote, Congress has passed a $900 billion pandemic relief package. The measure provides money for businesses and many citizens, as well as money to help with the coronavirus vaccine rollout. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer of Maryland says that while the measure represents some Democratic values, people affected by the pandemic should not have been forced to wait so long for relief.
These include a resumption of expanded unemployment benefits, another round of direct payments, relief for renters, assistance to make sure that Americans can put food on the table. In the richest country on the face of the earth, we have people in food lines who can't feed themselves. That is not only wrong, it is immoral.
Lawmakers also passed a $1.4 trillion bill that funds government for the next year. Both measures now go to President Trump for an expected signature. More than 40 countries have now announced travel bans targeting the United Kingdom after an outbreak in England of a coronavirus variant scientists think is much more infectious. As NPR's Frank Langfitt reports, Prime Minister Boris Johnson went on national television to try to calm fears at home and abroad.
With France banning trucks from crossing the English Channel at the port of Dover, Johnson told Britons there was no risk of food shortages and that he'd spoken to French President Emmanuel Macron about opening up the border as soon as possible. Johnson also emphasized that the ban targeted truck drivers hauling freight and not shipping containers.
We believe the risks of transmission by a solitary driver sitting alone in the cab are really very low.
In announcing the risks of the variant Saturday and a lockdown in the southeast of England, Johnson seemed not to have anticipated how quickly and intensely other countries would react. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, London.
Attorney General William Barr has weighed in on the major hack of U.S. government agencies. At his last newscast as Attorney General, Barr says Russia appears to be behind the breach. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports.
The U.S. government is still assessing the extent of the hack that first came to light just over a week ago. Experts say it is potentially unprecedented in scope. The Trump administration has not formally attributed the hack at this point, although Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said over the weekend that it was pretty clearly the Russians. Speaking at a news conference, Barr says he agrees.
It certainly appears to be the Russians, but I'm not going to discuss it beyond that.
While Barr and Pompeo have both pointed the finger at Moscow, President Trump has refused to do so. Instead, Trump has sought to minimize the severity of the hack and has suggested China might have been behind it. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
On Wall Street, the S&P 500 fell for the second straight day on Monday. The index closed down 0.4% as traders expressed concern over travel restrictions placed on Britain after news of that potentially more infectious strain of coronavirus in that country. The majority of stocks on Wall Street fell. You're listening to NPR News. If you find yourself outside tonight, don't forget to look up. With some luck, you may see Jupiter and Saturn appearing closer than they have in centuries. The last time the two gas giants looked this close together was when Galileo was around in the 17th century to see them look in the southwest sky. A beloved figure in the world of country music died Monday at the age of 78. As NPR's Netta Ulaby reports, K.T. Uslan was the first woman to win the Country Music Award for Song of the Year.
The year was 1987, and the song was 80s Ladies.
We were three little girls from school.
Uslan was 45 years old when she recorded that song, just one of a string of country chart-topping hits that also earned her three Grammys. Uslan grew up in Texas, but moved to New York, where she performed in musicals and toured with Carol Channing and Hello Dolly. Uslan's songs were recorded by Brandi Clark, Dusty Springfield, The Judds, and many others. K.T. Uslan retired after releasing her final album in 2015. She had been diagnosed with Parkinson's. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
A statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee has been removed from the U.S. Capitol. The statue represented the state of Virginia in the National Statuary Hall collection. Lee's statue has stood with one of George Washington since 1909 as Virginia's representatives in the Capitol. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam had asked for the statue's removal. He also recommended it be replaced by a likeness of Barbara Johns. Johns protested poor conditions at her all-black high school in 1951. I'm Dale Willman, NPR News.